What's going down, everybody? We're live here from the National. We got Adam Martin from Dave and Adam Card World. We're privileged to have him. Came to stop by, talk some cards with us. Adam, what's going down, man?
Nothing much, man. Getting ready for what could be the second most attended National in the history of Nationals.
Anaheim's number one, right?
Anaheim is number one. 100,000 people went through there, and last I heard, 85,000.
85,000.
That's crazy. Like for this one, yeah.
85,000. So let's go in the Wayback Machine with that Anaheim show. Where do you remember where it was in Anaheim? Was it at the Anaheim Convention Center next to Disneyland, or?
It was, but I did not go.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I've been to every National since that one.
Okay.
So this is our 30th anniversary. We just missed that one. Mm. But I've heard so many stories and read so many things. I mean, the fire department had to shut it down. There's one famous story about like a guy was set up and he had like 8 showcases on his table full like rookies, and he looked up and he had 7 showcases on his table.
Oh,
like
geez.
Somebody stole a whole showcase.
Just ran out the door, huh?
Off his table. So there's a lot of stories about that.
That's probably crazy. Smarter than the guy with the Luca. I'm sure you heard that story, right? The guy stole the Luca, sold it at the same show.
Yeah, we had a couple of our buyers down there. They were telling me the story. It's funny.
That's crazy. Funny. So how's everything going with the store in Buffalo and the website, man?
It's good. You know, I mean, we were talking before we came on to say how amazing it's been the last couple of years for the whole collectibles industry, how things have just changed for the positive for all of us. And it's been great walking around here. Like I said, just kind of look at people and shrug your shoulders and smile, because that's what it's been for the last couple
of
years.
Yep.
And so I can't complain. It's been I love what I do. I will always love what I do. But when business is like this for all of us, I mean, you love it even more.
I had to laugh. Somebody called us the other day, and they were asking about pricing. And they said, well, do you match DACA World? And I said, oh, I've never heard of that website.
Yeah, that's when I get over, I mean, it's been a few years now, but when I get over to Asia, that's what we are over there.
DACA?
DACA.
DACA World. Yeah, or if you want to do the hip-hop.
DA or DA.
Yeah, or DA Car World.
DA.
DA Car World.
I get, you're from DA. I'm like, yeah. You know, I don't know what to say. When I named that website, we were at a hockey game, and the owners at the time, previous owners way back in like 1990 or 92 or whatever it was, they owned like an internet company, and Spectrum. They owned Spectrum, I think.
Oh, shoot.
And so they had like free computer setups in the hockey game, in the hockey arena. And we registered our domain name there. That's probably my fourth beer.
So you registered the website in the stadium?
I registered in the website. Right? I said, well, what if we do, you know, DA Card World? And it makes sense. But we actually also own DACW.com.
Ah.
So when we all log in, we don't type out DA Card World.
Right.
We type in DACW.com. If you're listening, that will work.
Oh,
it's
nice.
It's only 4 letters.
Right, there you go.
But once you're
tricks of the trade.
Once you're something for so long, you don't change it because your Google search results plummet.
Right.
Yeah.
So we've kept it. And then of course we didn't register Dave and Adam's Card World. It's a real long domain, but over the years multiple people have registered it or attempted to. so something we never did.
Well, then you got to buy the .net, the .org, the .dot, you know, TV, all that stuff too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I actually have it's unrelated to the industry, kind of related, but last time I was hanging out with Adam, we were in Florida. We were at the Upper Deck convention.
Yep.
And Adam was nice enough to invite me to Epcot. Mm. And we went to, you took me on that space simulator ride. Mission Space. I have not talked to you since then.
Yeah, if you don't like to spin, it's not a ride for you.
I'm a little claustrophobic.
Yeah, I heard he was a little lightweight on that one.
I'm a little claustrophobic.
And I'm also jealous because I couldn't make it.
And I remember
I was invited, but I couldn't make it.
I remember Adam pointing out these signs while we're in line. It was like, beware if you're claustrophobic, if you don't like anything that spins. Like, basically, get out of line and just leave. And I'm like, I can't wuss out. I got to do this, right?
I was on it not too long ago, and I definitely have a little stand-up routine about that ride when you're in line for it, because I think they do make seven sincere efforts to talk you out of riding it. Why? Now, you imagine someone who walks up to my table and goes, how much is prison football? Well, it's $14.50, but you don't want to buy it. No, I kind of think I want a box. No, I don't think you want to buy that box.
No.
So they make like seven sincere attempts to get you to not ride the ride.
They do, and I should.
So that if you after you've ridden it and you're sick and you're laying down somewhere, they go, well, we tried. We told you seven times.
And that was me.
Not to ride
that
it.
That was me. I couldn't hang. That was the gnarliest ride I've ever been on.
You like that one?
I would recommend it. I'll never go on it again. Mm. But I will recommend it if you think you can handle it.
Well, they simulate
if you like barfing.
They simulate movement and G-force through spinning you really, really fast.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And it was a great idea. And originally, the first year they built it, for 6 months, I think that was operational. It actually was faster.
Ooh.
And I didn't ride it then, but I knew people who did. It's the only ride in Disney World you get on, and they have vomit bags in the cab with you, in the car with you.
Wow.
Because some people don't like to, like some people here.
Right
on my left.
I'm the first one to admit.
They do not like to spin.
It's and I'm claustrophobic, so it's like, you know, the best of both worlds. They're spinny rides, and you basically can't move. I was right next to Carvin, and Carvin kept on looking at me, and he's like, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? And I'm like, just pouring sweat, and I'm all, no, man, I'm not okay. I'm like, but I'm like, how long could the ride be? 45 seconds, a minute and a half. Whew.
Wow.
That was something.
I got to try it. See if I test the time on that
one. It's a bold move. And then I think I was talking to you. You do a DA Card World little scavenger hunt at?
Yeah, we do at Epcot in the World Showcase. We kind of do an employee, started doing it in 2006, like a couple times a year. You know, if we had a few guys, a few gentlemen or ladies who were doing a real good job for the company, we would take them down to Florida, to Orlando for a few days. And one of those days, we would go into the World Showcase. There's 12 countries, 10 countries in the World Showcase, and they all sell beer. And so we would start in the morning and walk around and drink a beer in every country. But to kind of spread it out, slow it down so you're not a complete disaster in 3 hours, we added a scavenger hunt element. And then the employee, if they win, they get to come back automatically the next time we go down and repeat as champion.
Wow, that's
and,
awesome.
Now that I got a house down there, now it's turned into four times a year. Plus, it seems like other friends that I have from the manufacturers or dealers, whatever, when they're down there, I just end up making up a quick one for them.
Right.
So they can check it out. But that's a good time.
That sounds like a blast. That sounds like a really good time.
Speaking of having a blast, what is the most memorable either trade show or like dealer event you've ever been to in the course of the history?
Boy.
Which one sticks out in your mind?
It might be this one.
right?
The first eBay Live. When really before we had the website going, you know, like in 96, we were actually for 1 month, we were actually the largest seller by volume. On eBay, it's hard to imagine. And I got what's like a kindergarten diploma. It's like a piece of paper that, like, with screwy font that just says, you know, congratulations. I still have that, and it was signed by Meg Whitman, who was the CEO at the time.
Oh, that's right.
Meg went to run for governor. Yep. I don't know what she's doing now, but she's got a Wikipedia page. You can look her up. But I had this. I still have that, and I went out to that show, and that was kind of when I realized that it's not just baseball card dealers who you can pick on. It's all collectibles dealers. They had a big event, and I just like watch a lady like just scooping shrimp into her purse. And the Mexican buffet section was just totally wiped clean. I watch a dude just eating sour cream out of a bowl. And so that was really momentous. And I met some people at eBay there and spent 2 or 3 days pretty much being self-deprecating, making fun of myself and all others of my ilk at that show. So that was really, I remember that. That was something special. That was crazy. First eBay event.
And that had to be in California, right?
Yeah, that was in Anaheim at the convention center.
Nice.
And then I think the first national I went to was Atlanta, and that was a 17-hour drive from Buffalo with another friend of mine, and We just walked around buying like junk wax, like 90 score football for like $4, take back to the store to sell for $9. I thought I was a genius. But so that was really something. But I would say, you know, I don't know if you guys got to experience this, because is when the trade show, when the industry summit used to be in Hawaii. I did that was like 20 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And almost every significant relationship that I built with the manufacturers or the significant players was built there.
Wow.
Because the setting was so casual, and because it was in Hawaii, you know, the presidents and CEOs of these companies would go. Mm. And at the time I was a younger guy, and I'd open up the round at the bar, and so I look back on that very, very fondly, those shows. But I love every national. It's great. It's great seeing people. You make some money. You spend some money. I love every national, but that Hawaii show was special.
Yeah, and that's, I think, a lot of these new upcoming, I mean, we see a lot of these young Instagrammers, and you don't realize how much the face-to-face really affects your business. I mean, we always talk about it back home, like, the face-to-face is really what kind of drove our business. Yes,
Absolutely. We
had our online presence, but, you know, talking with you, talking with, you know, guys from Panini or whatever, like Mark Warsop or, you know, Jason Mizra from Upper Deck or, you know, any of these guys, right? You know, being able to talk to them face-to-face or, you know, have a beer or two with them and kind of tell stories, it's you really value those friendships in this hobby. And we've been missing it for two years.
You know, years. I can't tell you, like, between this show and in my life when we travel – like, how many breakers will strike up a conversation with me? And it's, I don't know who they are, but I gravitated to you guys. You guys were hysterical, right? And so we're friends now. And that's unusual for me. So obviously I agree with you.
Well, you're like the best storyteller. So I think that's why we like gravitated towards you, because we're like, we want to hear more stories.
I do like to have a couple cocktails and talk about the old days like 12 years ago.
Yep, yeah.
And then, you know, one thing I'll say while we're talking here is if you're a breaker or a dealer, you got a new shop, I'm going to give you a piece of advice that I try to get at everybody. It seems to me that the first time a new store owner or breaker gets in front of a very important person or the head of hobby sales for Topps or Panini, the first thing they want to do is complain about a $30 redemption card that they haven't gotten
back.
Don't do it.
Talk about a bad impression. First impression.
Take about the opportunity. Don't even talk about cards if you can help it, because that's all they hear. You get in front of these people at an event like this, at the National or one of the trade shows, you know, do what you guys do. Just be cool. The business follows if they like you. Because it's the funniest thing. People start complaining.
That's like the equivalent of if you're trying to get with a lady and strike up a conversation, and the first thing you say is those shoes are ugly.
Yeah, or compare it to your ex-wife. You know, my ex-wife was a little taller than you. If you have a complaint in business, any business you're in, you got a real complaint with someone who's important, like a vendor who's important to you, it better be a real big complaint, and it's better said in person over a beer and not, not via email, not via text.
Not a $20 expired redemption.
No, everyone's making money in this business. If you're down like $40, just grin and bear it.
Yeah. If you're missing an auto from a box, just replace it yourself. Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean?
I heard this conversation. I have a customer. He's a $1,000 a week customer. And if we don't get him this $40 card, he says he's never coming back. He's going to quit collecting. I'm almost like, give the guy a 50.
Yeah.
Tell him it's from that company. I got this $50 bill in the mail for you.
Yep. Look, it says Topps right on it.
You're going to lose a $50,000 a year customer over a $40 card? Come on, man.
Not worth it. Not worth it at all. That's great advice, actually.
I talk about this. Yeah. I tell everybody I meet this advice, and I'll tell you what, they don't all take it.
Yeah.
But I've grown my business on.
Definitely got to look at the not. Got to look at the big picture.
You want them, when the manufacturer sees you coming, you want them to smile. You don't want them to turn and run.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you complain, if you're a complainer, they will turn and run.
And we all hear about those. I mean, we're not going to go through and name them now, but we know who the manufacturers don't like. You know, we see it. The interaction, and then we see them not talk to them next time. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. They don't all like me, but the good ones do, so that's okay.
And you don't need to brown nose necessarily, but you just don't talk negatively, right? You just don't bring up how, you had to some product got delayed or something, and that sucked, and you lost out on money. You just don't talk about that.
Yeah, I actually like the idea of when you meet these people and you're having a conversation, talk about stuff other than the industry. That's actually a more great advice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, we live it. You live it. I like a little escape. I like to go to a bar and hang out and basically drink a beer and talk about something other than trading cards.
Yeah.
Or manufacturers or redemptions or everything that we talk about pretty much day in and day out.
Like Epcot, right?
Like Epcot. Yeah. Like Epcot. Like the flight simulator.
I think that if the three of us ran into each other at a bar tonight or something, it's totally fine if we talk cards the whole time. I don't see you that much.
Right.
Yeah. I want to understand your business model. Sometimes you want to understand what I'm doing. I'll talk to you guys about cards all night, but not everybody wants to do that. And you have to know when it's okay and when it's not okay.
Yep.
And most of the time I've found that when the manufacturers are on their own time, it's not their business. They don't own it.
Right.
You know, when they're on their own time, maybe that's not what they want to talk about the whole time they're out trying to enjoy themselves and forget about the 78 people who complained to them at the show that day.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah, especially if you're like in customer service at Panini with redemptions, you don't want to have to deal with another conversation that you have probably a backlog of hundreds and hundreds.
Unfortunately, you probably just don't leave your hotel room.
You're right.
Knowing what you're going to walk into. Yeah. I wouldn't. I'd be like, I'm just going to get a six-pack and hang out and watch TV.
Yeah.
I have a question for you guys.
Yep.
What do you guys like in an open right now? What do you guys like for 6 months from now? Something you guys like? Something could be a category, a sport, a year, a brand. Like, is there something that you guys, if you don't mind saying it, is there something
you guys think? Absolutely. Like,
there's a lot of people who are super high on 2020 football, and we see 2020 football starting to bounce up.
I think 2019.
Yep. See, 2019 football.
You like 2019? Who do you like in 2019?
Kyler and Daniel Jones.
I like Kyler.
Daniel Jones.
Yeah. But Kyler, I think Kyler is extremely undervalued. I think Aaron Rodgers is undervalued. I think he.
You can't get that product.
You can't get that product. But in individual cards, I think Aaron Rodgers is undervalued for who he is and what he's done in the league. I think he's undervalued.
The only thing that worries me about all these quarterbacks is that you have at least almost 10 of them in the last 3 years. So there's going to be 9 of them that aren't going to be sought after this year. So it's a very tough category if you're picking one. But I feel like that Kyler and Daniel Jones are such a low entry at this point compared to Herbert, Burrow, Lawrence, Fields, Lance, right? That it's such a low entry that I think you could do pretty well.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I think 18 if you could find it as well.
Yeah.
It's tough, but I like Baker.
After 2 years, usually the ability to go buy cases of stuff, even retail, becomes very challenging. So you get back to 18. I mean, we have plenty of 18 football in stock, but it would be hard to go replace it.
We don't talk about the D word, the dip word, because I don't think we're in the dip.
We talk about the song "I Dip, You Dip, We Dip."
But it might be a good time to buy 2021 basketball,
mm-hmm. Or 1920 for that,
or 1920.
I love 1920 select basketball and some of the 1920 basketball products that didn't have a lot of retail components.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it's like one-on-one. I mean, if you can find it, it's dry.
Yeah, we just picked up a case of
It seemed crazy to buy it for what? $1,700 a box, I think, for two cards. But,
people want it. It was like 13 or 14.
Oh, maybe it's 13. I'm not thinking retail. But
no, it was like 13 or 14 a case, I think.
Yeah.
I bought a case of Opulence here, and I couldn't believe it. I'm like, ooh, that's a two-box case that is gone.
Right, right.
And, so I like that, anything 18, 19 basketball. And then one thing I've always noticed is, like, there's so many quarterbacks in this draft class, and, like, things like Contenders Draft and Prism Draft, like the early draft stuff, people always want to wait for the NFL stuff, but the very earliest stuff dries up,
mm-hmm.
and then, like, a year or two, like, you can't find it. And so you could probably make like 30, 40% on your money
sitting on it.
And that, we don't want to talk about the D word, but that stuff dipped.
Yeah.
That stuff dipped and it's bounced back. But we like 2021 draft. It's not going to be a quick seller, but on paper it'll look good.
And you know, the contenders draft, actually, you know, when the whole product line comes out, it still holds its value relatively compared to the, you know, NFL stuff. So people still go after those cracked ice college cards.
And you never know who is going to pop. Like, it could be a third or fourth round quarterback that ends up, like, who's the kid from the Buccaneers?
Kyle Trask.
Kyle Trask.
Yeah.
Somebody like that where he might be loaded in that product. You might be getting a Kyle Trask, like, you know, right. every couple cases.
That's right, because if Trevor Lawrence was, we call him, like, an A autograph.
Yep.
And they're paying him, well, I know what they paid him. They're paying him a lot of money. And, you know, there's other guys who are getting, like, $2, $3, $4, $5. And mm-hmm. so they're going to drop. They're going to be right. C yeah. autographs. And so when 2012 football came out and everybody's after Andrew Luck, you know, Russell Wilson was a C
yep.
autograph.
Yep.
I mean, you get him out of every case.
Yep.
You know, early on. And that we've had that happen with Dak Prescott in 16.
I was going to say
he
that.
He started yep. as yeah. a C auto, yep. and you could get him really, really easily. Then, you know, as the year goes, as they're making more product, they'll swap them.
Yep.
You know, they'll take the C autos and move them up into an A drop, make it much harder to get. But early.
Yep. I remember Gala. You were almost getting like two Dacks a case.
Is that right?
You know, yep. an yeah. eight-box case and that Gala stuff.
Yeah, and I remember opening up a lot of 12 football, and Russell Wilson was, mm-hmm. especially in like the first early. Like five or six releases.
That's like right. finest.
Man, you were getting them like constantly.
Right.
Yep.
Because he was, they probably paid him like $3. Mm-hmm. For like a $3 yeah. autograph. Yep. So,
now, are you guys seeing more pre-sales on Select Basketball from 2021 compared to 2021 Prism when it came out?
Yeah, so Select is definitely overtaken Prism for the savvy buyer.
Yeah.
We started at, we went out pre-selling, started at like $999.95, which is healthy, but at that, it moved very, very quickly. And I think we've taken it up to, if I'm not mistaken, we're close to 1100 now, 1050, yeah. 1100. So I think that's where that's going to settle. That release is Friday. So we have that hidden in our booth for Friday release here.
There
nice.
You go.
Nice. There you go.
Select UFC and basketball same day.
All right, yeah. So if you're at the National, you definitely got to stop by.
I think I'm going to buy a box because all of ours is getting delivered to California, and my guys are ripping it, and I don't get to rip one box. So I think I'm going to have to stop by the booth and grab a box from you guys. So.
Now, one thing, if you're – you know, if you put stuff away, you're set. Look, when I put stuff away, it's 6 months to 2 years. That's it.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, but there are retail components for this year's Select Basketball. So if that's meaningful to you, there's a blaster, right. a mega, and maybe a hanger. Mm-hmm. So not the, you know, like the 19 versions that like Prism Soccer, EPL Soccer had, but there is going to be some retail out there. So it'll take a little while for the hobby box to. It'll dip probably for a little. Can't say the D word. It might dip
can't
down.
Can't say the D word.
You could see that box potentially dip back to 1,000 and then go back up as the retail goods dry up.
Yeah.
But
soccer is another whole category. I feel like we're getting like five releases a week now. It's like it used to be like once a month, and now it's like, man, there's three this week, and then there's three next week. It's like you got La Liga, and you got, you know, all this stuff coming. I mean, it's still selling, but it's just like went from nothing to being all in the forefront. When you have two manufacturers making a license, you know, a sport, they come quick.
I always say, you know, hey, if you were running the show at Thompson Panini, what would you do?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I agree 100%. Yeah. I'd probably do it more, you know, and it'd probably oversaturate, right?
So, Adam, if you had one product in the last year to store away, out of sight, out of mind, and play the long game on it, and what would it be?
Oh man, you don't want to hear my answer. It's really tough. Like
I'll give you mine.
How about Upper Deck Marvel Black Diamond?
Okay.
You know,
okay.
But that's really hard. Or like X-Men Metal. That's out right now.
Okay.
So I mean, sometimes you think out of the box and you think what the non-sport collectors. Those two are good. We put a good piece that away because those
and shorter those print runs
right and they're harder to get mm-hmm. and their distribution is much smaller and there's no retail variety and
yeah
so I those are things I
that's a
I
that's
would,
a good one
I would look for yeah. I that's a great question. What's really out there that like a Norm Burson get? How about Topps Chrome Soccer Blasters?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Really tight, you know, to the as far as a retail run non-existent. You can still go on eBay right now and probably pop them off there for like $60, $65. Mm-hmm. That's a $100 blaster in 3 months, four
Good
months.
Advice.
They're not out there. The run of those was like 50,000 total blasters, which
wow.
is nothing.
Yeah.
When you figure there's like 100,000 Walmarts. I don't know how many, 5,000 Walmarts. So it's a really small run. So I like those a lot. But what can you just go buy? I like
not even necessarily buy. It could be something that has already dried up and you're just like,
Oh, and you got to go grab
this,
it.
Well, this is basically, if I hold on to this for 10 years, it's going to go up 10 times.
Oh, yeah, I'm going back to 1920 Select Basketball, even at the box level. Love it. I love it. We've been trying to put that away, and I think we've got like 4 cases. like it's just not out there.
Right.
Like some guys will gravitate to Flawless and Treasures and Immaculate, and those are fine.
Or Eminence.
Those are fine. Eminence. We still have 2 Eminence first off the line. We never did.
Oh, wow.
How's that? They made 20. We bought 5. We still have 2.
Wow.
I don't know what I'm waiting for on that.
I was on that Dutch auction. I was like, I think it went right. It was gone right away. It was like it never went down.
We bought 5 at almost one where you jumped in like the second drop. We bought one, and they were gone.
We have, believe it or not, we have Transcendent Asia sealed.
There's Transcendent Asia?
Yeah, with Ohtani rookies. And they only made 50 of them.
Yeah, I can't even picture it. I've never seen it.
We used the pass, and then, they put them on the top. So we used the pass, got all the stuff, and we're still sitting
on the case.
Oh, wait,
I was there. That was in Anaheim, too?
Yeah, I was there. We were there.
Yeah.
We took Tom's seat by accident, and then he never lets us forget because we were right in front of Ohtani.
Yeah,
it was Tom. Tom and Kelly. They were sitting down, and we didn't see their seat there, and we just sat down.
I just kind of hid in the back, and there was a bunch of people from Japan at my table. Didn't speak English, so super fun.
Yeah.
So, Doug, what are you holding out of current product?
I'm intrigued by the Sapphire. The F1 Chrome, Sapphire.
You know what?
Yeah, we've had 3 people walk up to the booth looking for it today.
Is that what you were going to pick, too?
Yeah, I should have went before you.
We hang out together too much, man.
Whatever, man. Okay.
You going to finish my sentences next?
You stole mine, but I think because that's the first release, it's Chrome. You're not necessarily looking for the autograph content as much. The first Chrome Lewis Hamilton, Formula One has a Netflix documentary that people are watching like crazy.
Yep.
It's definitely starting to blow up here. It's super popular already. The other one is also pretty standard, the Prism UFC. I think because it is the first UFC, it's going to be very similar to the 12-13 Prism Basketball, where...
And see, I don't get that one because it's like we had Tops for so many years and it didn't sell. And then all of a sudden it's like you throw that label on it and it's like, I know it's a different era and I get it, but it still doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
But at this point, I mean, we're almost a decade into the Prism category or name. It's kind of tried and true now. It's a huge release no matter what the category is.
Yep.
It's always going to be successful. And it seems like it builds off the previous year.
Yeah.
So anybody getting Prism anything for, $120-$150 is...
Well, you can get 24 count retail right now, like $300, $325.
Yeah.
I think we have it $350 here because it's part of the Silver Pack promotion here. Mm-hmm. But I think that's... If you like UFC Prism...
Yeah.
That's, it's about a third of what you got to pay for hobby, so...
Yeah.
It's a good buy.
Definitely.
So that's where I'm at. But
I don't like it, so I'm not putting it in.
My number one would have been the Formula One Chrome. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy, crazy, crazy couple years. So
yep.
It's been fun.
It has.
it's been crazy. A good time.
In some instances, I know you mentioned it earlier, Dan, that it feels like it's been forever, but then it also feels like it was just last week at the same
feels
time.
Feels like it's been a decade. Feels like it's been 6 months.
Yeah.
So what inning are we in?
Of the.
I know we're going to wrap up here soon because I got to go back to work. But some people keep asking me, what inning are we in? If
you mean to get back to like what it was like 3 years ago?
Maybe not necessarily, but it can't go forever, right? I'd love to say it would go forever. Maybe I'm a glass half full type of guy.
I feel like and I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but I feel like this is the ninth inning right now, this event.
Some people feel like a seventh inning.
Really?
I think it's hard to imagine like anything being at MAP anytime soon, right?
No, I don't think we're ever going to get to that point, but.
I wouldn't say it's the ninth inning. I would go seventh inning, sixth, seventh inning. I think there's still room to grow.
So a lot of people think it's the first inning.
Yeah, I mean.
Watch TV and listen to these people talking about new people putting money in the hobby, saying this is just the beginning.
Yeah. And
I wish.
There is those fractional share things that are going on, and there's the Instagrammers that maybe, you know, the younger generation's here to stay too, I think. So, and I think we feared that. We didn't think the kids were going to get into this. Now you have these 20-year-olds that are getting into it, and then when they got some money when they're 40, you know, they're going to be buying these Zions. They're going to be buying these Jaws, right, for big money. So I did have one last question before we let you go. How many people – I know you guys on DACardWorld.com, you guys have the tiers of the people that buy when you spend a certain amount.
Yes.
How many people have contacted you? Because that's a tough tier to get to. Was that a serious thing?
Or which tier?
The tier where they get to your phone number.
Oh, Diamond.
Diamond.
Yes. Yeah. So that's interesting. I forgot that was a perk.
Yeah.
So we rolled out. It was something I can –
And I probably should have explained it better rather than
asking
the question.
About 10 years ago – I came up with an idea. You know, I love trying to hit Diamond for Hilton,
yeah,
you know, or Platinum for Marriott just to get the free breakfast, yep, buffet or the occasional room upgrade. And I said, you know, we should have something like that on our site, but what if we had 50 different levels? And that's what we rolled out in January. We rolled out, you know, Bronze, Silver, Gold, Platinum, Diamond with 10 steps.
Yep.
And from an e-commerce perspective, I believe it's a first.
Yeah,
and so we've actually had people write about e-commerce businesses speak to me to say, you know, this is a first, and ask us how it's doing, and you know, for the customers, they love it because it's every step you get a micro discount, so a small discount.
Yeah.
You might get another fraction of a percent off a box or a case, but every time you reach that next step, you see, stuff gets cheaper for you.
Yeah,
and then there's sales and the things we do specifically for those groups. And then we have double points and triple point promotions. Like at our booth here, we have triple point promotion. Customer can come up, scan their phone, UPC, and it'll take what they spent with us.
Oh, wow.
Give them triple points here.
That's awesome.
It's just a brand new program. But to answer your question, we only have 2 customers that hit Diamond so far.
And
luckily, they do have my phone number, and I like both of them.
I think we're Platinum 4 or 5 or something.
See,
like
that's
that.
That's good. So yeah, you guys are moving
climbing.
Up.
We're getting there.
Yeah, you guys, that's good. You guys are moving up. We have a lot of Platinum.
Yep.
I think we only have.
We do a lot of Hit Parade, and we've actually done a great. Kevin's done a great job getting us pre-order in.
You already have
stuff.
My phone number. You don't need my phone. Yeah.
Right. We thought it was, you know, because we know you. We're like, oh, dang, right down there, you can talk to Adam. That's cool.
Yeah.
Right? Yep, so that's awesome, man. Well, everybody knows where to find you, dacardwell.com. Always check it out. They're always, the lowest price, always got great deals, got some great repack, as you guys know we do on mojobreak.com. So with the Hit Parade stuff, which has been phenomenal. There's the Sapphire, there's the Platinum, and you got the memorabilia stuff. You guys even do, buyback comic boxes. It's
coins, comics.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd repack farm animals if we could figure out how to do it, I think.
Well, that's awesome, man. We appreciate the time, and I'm sure we'll be meeting with you at some point this week. So,
all right, boys.
Yeah,
right. Thanks.